Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
So first, before we go there, we're going to have to talk about what was God thinking in the first place? What was God thinking? We're going to use a lot of Bible today, so just hold on for that. But when he made women and men, what was he thinking? Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've had Marty Solomon here, and he spoke some about this already, and you guys, we've talked a lot about it before, but you have to go back to the beginning to understand what God was doing, and hopefully you can see that. Genesis 1, 26. Let us make mankind in our image. This is after God made everything else. He said, let us make mankind in our image. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God had a plan, y'all. And it was for both man and woman, both male and female. And God said, my first plan is that you understand that you are made in my image. Isn't that beautiful? That every single one of us are made to reflect God. That in some way, when you look at your neighbor, and just look into your neighbor's eyes, and say, you're in God's image. That you have a piece of God's intelligence, creativity, morality, capacity for relationships, sense of humor, talent. That should help us to really understand why God says that we gotta love everybody. Because everybody was made in God's image. Both male and female were made to have dominion. We were made to rule together because God knew it was going to take us together to do that. So you get the hint of what God was thinking in the very beginning, right? And then you go to Genesis 2:18, and it says that God recognized... Well, the Bible says that God, wow, it's coming off the screen, huh? Oh, Genesis. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. How many of you have read that before? Y'all know y'all a suitable helper? And sometimes the way that gets defined is very interesting. Like helpmate. Like it describes like you're like a sidekick or a slave. Or maybe a seductress. We got plenty of those throughout the Bible, right? That we see. But what that word, what that phrase really means, that Azar, suitable helper is Azar. Now, Dr. Ed brought this wonderful demonstration up here for me, so you can take pictures with it later if you would like. And he did this lesson a while ago, maybe a year ago, to display what Azar Kanego is. That word Azar is used throughout the Bible to describe how God helps man, right? How God is a rescuer. Psalm 70, verse 5, it says, yet I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God, help me. How God helps man. It's a important, it's a strong, vital help. It's a help that we can't live without. Okay, kenegdo means, we're not going to like this, but it means to come against, means opposite. How many of y'all in marriage understand this whole phrase? We are different. Come on, y'all. And you don't have to be married to know that. How many of y'all know we are different? Jason's like this. Two hands. Raise your hand if you know we're different. How many of y'all feel this demonstration? God says that's good. It's got to be on the foundation of God. And you got to have both who press into each other. And because we press into each other, we can stand. Isn't that amazing? One of these cannot stand by itself. No matter how hard hard we try, no man is an island. Like, we can't do it by ourselves. So I have a living demonstration for you. Please come up here, my wonderful assistants. We like demonstrations. The help that comes against. And in that help, it makes him better. It makes us better. Let's maybe do it over here so they can see you. So it kind of looks like this. Y'all want to sit on the ground? I don't think YouTube can see this, but I have them sitting on the ground. And now, one, two, three. That's the demonstration. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was like, are y'all going to practice that in case you can't? Notice I picked the younger people. I thought about getting Daphne and Ricardo. No. I thought about some of us older ones, and I was like, I don't know if we'll be able to get up. Not because we're not trying hard. God loves us. He gives us support. This is not just within the marriage. This is how God wants to operate in the world, in the church, men and women together. Okay? So now we're going to look really quickly at some women in the Old Testament that I don't know if we know. Okay, first I want to talk to you about Eve. Y'all know about Eve, right? That terrible woman. She caused all our trouble because she messed up. She was a failure, right? Everything went wrong because of her. Do you know while Adam and Eve introduced death into the world, there's more to her story? There's a lot more to her story. She symbolizes God's promise to send the Redeemer to the world to defeat evil and bring salvation. Eve bore Seth, whom she named as a replacement for Abel, because, of course, Cain killed Abel, and that was terribly horrible. I mean, just read the Bible. There's so much action going on there. You don't need Lifetime. Just read the Bible. But Eve gave Seth the name that would mean that he would now be the seed through which we get Abraham's lineage, the patriarchs, the nation of Israel, and Christ himself. Because Eve didn't give up and God didn't give up on Eve, Jesus would crush the head of the serpent. Her story didn't end there. How many of y'all feel like it's so late in life? You made so many mistakes. You have ruined it. It's a mess because of you. God says it's never too late. There's nothing you can do. There's nowhere you can go to get away from me and my love and my grace and my purpose and my plan for you in this redemption story. How about Noah's wife, y'all? What's her name? Anybody know Noah's wife's name? That's because nobody knows Noah's wife's name. That's because she's nameless. People try to guess her name. Noah's wife is overlooked, honey. She accompanied Noah on this ark with her sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, during that great flood. Noah was 500 years old when he started building, and 600 when he went into the ark. I don't know about y'all, I've been married for 35 years. They've been married for hundreds of years. Could you imagine the jokes? Your husband's building a what? You're following him? A flood when they had never seen water before? Imagine the taunting, the pressure from society to give in to the wicked world, because remember, they were like the only righteous people. The world was wicked. Imagine the pressure to, Noah, just give up. It's too much. It's not worth it. She could have turned that whole thing around. But somehow, you imagine her being faithful. You imagine her persevering. Wait a minute, guys. Can you imagine the smell in that ark? With all the animals. Can you imagine her helping to clean that stuff up? Keeping that family in line. Come on, guys. We got to keep taking care of this ark. We got to be patient. We got to. God's coming through. Noah's wife is a hero, and I'm so proud of her. I'm proud of the women and the men in this room that stand by each other, the dreamers. We got any dreamers in the room? Any dreamers? Right now, I want some wives to stand up. If you have a dreamer, a husband who's a dreamer, please stand up. I know what it's like to be married to a man who is always dreaming. He's dreaming. He's moving. God has plans. I want to give you an applause. Because Tasha, I know you got a dreamer. And you are faithful and you stand by. And you contribute. And sometimes nobody will ever know. But God does. How about Rahab? Rahab, man, was known as a what? That's her reputation. That's all we know about her. But if Rahab hadn't hidden those spies, Joshua may not have had the victory with Jericho that he had. How many of y'all single women in here? I want y'all to stand up, single ladies. All the single ladies, okay. I don't want you to feel like, oh, this is just about marriage. This is just about marriage. God calls you a czar in this world today to do some great things for him. And he will provide everyone and everything that you need. You just got to be you. Y'all can sit down. Why did I spend time on this? Because I think sometimes we let the world define us. Give us our identity. Tell us who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. And God has already given us our identity. He's already told us who we are and our purpose and all of that. Don't get it twisted with TikTok. Because only God can give you that. Let's jump over to Jesus' ministry. I wish we had time to talk about Huldah, the prophetess, and Sarah, and Deborah, and I mean, the list goes on. We don't, but I have studies for you if you'd like to. Let's jump over to Jesus, the New Testament. Different culture, New Testament. It unfolds with the backdrop of the first century Roman Empire, the time when the culture was very, very different. So just heads up, when you read your Bible, you have to think about what was God, whatever was being said, what did the people hear when it was being said? And you can't just read it from our culture today, because our culture is very different. This was a time where most of the women, not all of them, were considered second-class citizens. They did not have many rights. Now, of course, not everybody lived this way, but this is what historians say. Jesus was radically different. He stood out. He was a change maker. Not just in this area, but in all areas. We believe that, right? Jesus came to turn it all around. We all believe that, right? And that's what he did. So his actions regarding women at that time show that he was consistent with what God had planned. No matter what the culture was, he was going to be consistent and stay consistent with what God had designed, okay? So one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is John 4. We're going to spend the rest of our time here. Let's go to John 4. John chapter 4. And so, next slide, John 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisee had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. So let's see if this video is going to play. So we will pray, because I am technologically challenged.
Would you give me a drink?
I'm not halfway finished. What time did they tell you to come?
Did you hear me?
What time did they usually tell you
That's
to come?
That's bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? And why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come out now, in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would. Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water. Hmm?
That's not what I
said. Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
Oh, I see. You're a prophet. You're here to preach at me.
No.
Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who have made it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Yeah, exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need God? I've never received anything from God, but I couldn't thank him, even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here that it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the kind of worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from. Or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married. But he wasn't a good man. He hurt you, and it made you question marriage and even the practice of your faith.
Stop it.
The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
You picked the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I am rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
And you know these things because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon, just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
This man told me everything I've done. Oh, he must be the Christ!
She left that water jar. She ran to town. And then one of the disciples says, you know, they went into town to get food, and they asked Jesus if he was hungry, and he was like, I'm full. I have food you don't know about. And the disciple says, did someone bring him food? It's so cute, the end part. But wow, guys, what, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Don't you just love Jesus? Don't you just love Jesus? I love Jesus. I love the fact that Jesus knew this woman's need. I love the fact that Jesus gets tired, all right? He traveled 2 days to get, he walked 2 days to get to Samaria. He went through Samaria instead of going around it, which is what most Jews of the day did, because they considered the Samaritans unclean. Yes, I can. Thank you. My watch is talking to me up here. Oh, my goodness. It's really talking back to me. But he goes through Samaria. The Bible doesn't say he went there just for her. But the Bible says he had to go through there. Maybe because in John 3, right before this, he was just teaching Nicodemus about why he came. And he was teaching Nicodemus that he came for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world but to condemn the world, but to save it. He had just taught that lesson. Now he was setting that example. He goes after this woman. Look, Jesus breaks down barriers, y'all. He breaks down barriers. He goes somewhere that Jews would not go. He shattered prejudice and bigotry and bias. As we have been studying for this woman's series, and I'll just say this, we've been doing a study with some of the elders and some of the staff, I forgot to mention that earlier, on a woman's series that we started in February. And it's been amazing. And it's been so that we could continue to study the woman's role. Now, I'm so grateful for Mike, Angel, staff, elders, that for years we have been having these discussions and we have been studying things and we have been talking and we operate in a way that we feel like aligns with the Bible. But I'm so grateful for the support of these men in this church. I will just say that. Let's give them a shout out, okay? I'm so grateful. Thank you, honey. And so I say that to say that we've been doing a woman's series study. And as I've been studying all these resources, one thing is clear, is that everybody has bias. No matter who you are, everybody has bias. The resources you read when you study your Bible, they are biased. The best thing we could do is stick to Jesus and his example. Because guess what? Jesus has no bias. Jesus breaks down every wall. Here we have Jesus talking to a Samaritan, strike one. A woman, strike two. In public, strike three. Alone in the afternoon. Like, why was she there in the first place alone in the afternoon when most women would go to the well in the morning because it wasn't as hot? She was avoiding something, probably. Okay? She has five husbands. Another strike. And he engages in a conversation with her when women wouldn't even talk to men. Men wouldn't even talk to women in public. And they're alone. That was scandalous. Jesus is not concerned about controversy, y'all. He is very controversial for what he believes is right. He did something that you don't do at that time because he had something. He had a gift. Let me just say this, and I'm off book, Julius, for the rest of this time. The well, if you could picture a well, okay? She was at her well. Jesus wants to meet each and every one of us today at our well. The well is where we go when we're thirsty. We could be thirsty for success, thirsty for security, thirsty for love, good things and bad things. But here's your well, okay? The well is man-made. You can drink from that well, but you will be thirsty again. Jesus says, I have a spring of living water for you. I have a gift. Sometimes we're so tied into the question Jesus asked. Jesus asked the woman, give me a drink. And she was like, give you a drink. You're a man. You're a Jew. I'm just. Sometimes we get caught up with what Jesus asks of us. Oh my goodness, I got to be committed to God. I got to read my Bible. I got to go to church. What do I need to change? And we miss the whole point, which is the gift that God is wanting to give us. I love what Jesus said. If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him if you only knew. How many of us are sitting here today and we are thirsty? All of us. God made us with a thirst. It's a thirst for him. His living water. That his living water comes from a spring that's deep in the ground and bubbles up and overflows and never goes empty and never stops. It goes for eternity. It's a relationship with him. It's his Holy Spirit. He was already talking to this woman, this Samaritan woman, about a theological issue that was to come, about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was already alluding to that. Isn't that awesome, y'all? Isn't that awesome? This woman that had a need. We don't know why she had five husbands. Now, I heard y'all when you heard that about the five husbands. Everybody went, floozy? She's fast. What happened to her? And I must admit that for years, when I would read that, I'd be like, okay, what is the problem with this woman? She's had five, and now this one she's living with is not even her husband. And now you learn through scholarship that there are many other reasons why a woman would be in a situation like that. First of all, in the first century, you could not divorce. It was harder for you to divorce your husband. But he could divorce you like that. You don't cook well enough. I'm divorced. You don't give it up. I'm divorced. I mean, whatever it is, right? I'm divorcing you. But not the other way around. Sorry about that. Okay. You know what I'm saying. At that time, these women, these young women, these women would get married at a young age and marry an older man, and possibly that man would die, and then she'd have to get married again and again. Who knows what the reason was, but guess what? The Bible doesn't say it. Guess why? Jesus wasn't concerned about it. Guess why? Jesus was concerned about her soul and giving her the living water. That's all he wanted to do. And if he's not concerned about it, should we be concerned about it? I know y'all. You're like me. I'm like a detective. I'm from New York. Y'all love when I say that. I'm from the Bronx. I'm from the hood. You can't put nothing over on me. I can smell a phony. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can, and I can be a little judgy. Anybody be a little judgy? Oh, what happened to her? Why is she that way? I smell that weed on him again. What's wrong with him? That church, they got a woman up there? We can be judgy, and Jesus said, I don't need all of that. I don't judge her. I love that picture. It's for the next slide. When Jesus, you know, asked her to go call her husband. And then I imagine that being her face. Because she's like, what? You know about my life? And aren't we that way sometime when God exposes us? We're like, what? Speak to me, Jesus. We can be judgy. Okay, let me tell you. I was in a store with Christina. We were in Moe's. And we were having a staff a meeting, I think, me, Christina, and somebody else. And we were talking, and in walks a man with a gun. It's exposed. It's this big thing. I don't know nothing about guns, y'all, as you can tell. He walks into Moe's with the gun. And he's showing his gun and everything. So it's all big. And I'm like, okay, Christina, y'all, we got to get up. I'm from New York. Get up. They're like, what's going on? What's going on? I'm like, get up right now. Let's make an exit. Because I always know where the exits are. I sit so I can see the exit. Get up. Right, Mike? Let's get out of here. We interrupt everything. We get up. We get out. I call the police on this man. I have judged this man. I'm like, he's about to shoot this store up. He looks like he's going to da 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 da. Ma'am, he can carry. What is it called? What's the law called? Y'all know what it is. It's a law. I was like, wow, I seriously judged him. We do it all the time. We've got a bunch of people coming in here next week for Easter Sunday. All we need to be thinking about is, if you only knew. If you only knew. There'll be people coming to church. They haven't come to church in years. Since COVID, they're back. We don't need to be judgmental. We just, if you only knew the gift of God. There's somebody in here today, KJ. KJ is getting baptized because he wants the living water. He wants the living water. Let's go to the next screen. I love the ending there. Kind of skipped around. I love the ending. Let's go to the next one. When Jesus reveals himself, I went off book. They know me. I usually do. When he reveals that he is the Messiah. Let me ask you a question. You ever have a conversation with Jesus? Have you had a conversation with Jesus? We all need to have a conversation with Jesus. Jesus wants you by the well. And he wants to sit down with you, and he wants to have a conversation with you. And there are things that he wants you to bring. Like when he told her to bring your husband, he wants you to bring your hurt. He wants you to bring your fear. Whatever you need to bring to Jesus, he wants you to bring it to him. And then he wants to give you the living water. He wants it to flow. And he wants to listen to you, but he also wants to say some things to you, like he said to this woman. I who speak to you am he. Do you realize that this was the first time that Jesus made himself known as the Messiah? And it was to this woman in Samaria. This was the first time that he exposed that he is the Messiah. And she got it eventually. And she left and she ran and she left her water jar and she ran to the city. And the Bible says the whole town believed because of her testimony. When we believe we have the living water, y'all, we've got good news. We've got great news to share. We can't hold it in. It comes bubbling out. And as we think about her example, it just amazes me that she wasn't looking for Jesus, but he was looking for her. He had the longest theological conversation with her recorded than anyone in the entire Bible. Jesus could have converted the Samaritans by himself. He did not need her. Jesus could have just used those 12 men to convert the Samaritans. Jesus had a plan for her. And Jesus has a plan for you. She is just one of the women in the Old Testament. There are many, 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 many more who work alongside their husbands, who have worked to get us here today. We stand on their shoulders. We don't have time to talk about them. But I hope that we did a pretty good job highlighting some of the women of the Bible. I hope that we can see from what we talked about today that it's going to take both man and woman working together to glorify God. I pray that we will continue in this church to use the gifts and talents of everyone to bring glory to God. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful that you have a plan that is far above our plans, God. Sometimes we don't understand, but we're so grateful that you do, and you understand each and every one of us, and you want to use us, God. I pray that you will help us to focus during this time of communion on the conversation that you want to have with us. I pray we sit by the well, we listen to you, we open our hearts to you, we accept, embrace the living water, and that those of us that don't understand what the living water is, God, that you would give us the living water. Thank you for the body and blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. This time of communion, why we come together, God, to break bread. We're so grateful, God, that you died. You sent your son to die for us, for our sins, and we desire to continue to live for you. We love you. We pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.